ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
For years, we've heard warnings about hackers tapping into our personal online information. You would think that advances in technology would even the playing field by now, giving users like us a greater sense of security when we're in front of our computer. But the hacking and the scamming continues, and we might be our own worst enemy because of the bad habits many of us still have when it comes to living in a digital world. On this edition of UWM Today, we're going to talk to a UWM expert who has some great tips you can use to keep your information and maybe even your bank account safe. Khalid Sabha is a senior lecturer in UWM School of Information Studies, and he is our guest with us today. Welcome, Khalid. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, so a lot of us just take it for granted that someone else is going to look out for our online security because we all have, you know, special programs with our internet providers that we would hope would keep us safe. And yet, we're constantly at risk, aren't we?
We are. Think of it this way. Your identity online. It's like your house. Nobody will protect your house but yourself. So you need to protect your house. You need to protect your ID. You need to do a research on what the best thing to protect your identity. If you don't, somebody will take a hold of your information and you might be a victim of ID theft. So it's a really serious issue nowadays with technology changing. There are many tools that hackers make use of. They exploit the vulnerabilities, and we have to be aware of what's going on. And my job here at UWM is to raise awareness. We want to make sure that everybody is aware of the risk around us. It's really a serious issue.
So you see students every day. You're talking to students who, in many cases, want to work in the information industry by virtue of your role in School of Information Studies. Do students take the risks seriously?
Thank you so much for this question. Some of them do, but the majority, based on my experience, do not. They think it's not going to happen to them. They do certain things that are risky, like going to certain websites that are risky to go, and therefore they be a victim of ID theft. And I wish I could hold everybody by their hand and say, please do not do this, please do not do this. Even all my students at UWM, even when I walk in the mall, you know, I wish I could tell people, do this, do not do this. The risks are really serious. Nowadays, it's different than a few years ago. A few years ago, it wasn't like as complicated and risky as nowadays. So there are a lot of things, and my job is to raise awareness again and not to scare people, because it is really a serious issue. The average user don't think of it as, you know, a serious issue, but people who work in the security industry know how serious this issue is.
And yet the human behavior, human nature is that it's not going to happen to me. I mean, you know, we've got millions of people here in our country, probably over 200 million people out of the 350 million in our population who are online on a regular basis. And doesn't human nature say, what's going to happen to the other guy, not to me? I mean, there are so many people who could be targeted. Why would someone key in on my own personal information?
That's true. And now you didn't have to use a computer like a desktop or a laptop to be online. You could use your own phone, your smartphone. And a lot of people, like the majority of us, have a smartphone. And we use it to do different tasks like online transactions, to connect to Facebook, to other apps online. And by doing this, you are at risk if you do not practice the good security measures. So it's really, again, it's a very serious issue. We need to be aware of that.
So there are three big areas of risk that that you point out in the classes that you teach. And I want to walk through each one of these, and we're going to do a little deeper deeper dive on them. One is one of the common mistakes that people have in their own behavior is clicking on those URLs that come in emails. You get an email from somebody, and boy, it looks like there's more information here I should be looking at because there's a URL that will take me to a website. Big risk there, right?
That's correct. And this is a form of an attack that hackers use. It's called social engineering. It's a form of social engineering. And it's one type of social engineering. It's called spear phishing. It's called spear phishing, where a user sees an email. In that email, there is a link. And that email looks attractive. You know, you want to know more about the content of that email. So you click. A user clicks on that email and becomes a victim of that attack.
How sophisticated are these phishing attempts? Is it easy to spot these, or do you have to have your spy glasses on?
No, you don't. So one of the things that a user should look for is the source address, you know, who sent that information. And my advice is to carefully look at the sender, the email address that this email came from. If you pay close attention to the email address, I think it should be good. There's another way to tell where that email came from. And I show my students, you know, in classes, all you have to do, I don't want to get technical, but there is another way. So the first and easy way for the average user is look who is sending that email. Look at the address, not the name.
So not the name in the email.
Not the name.
Look at the
address. The name can be spoofed, but the address. Look, it's like, for example, my email address, sabha@uwm.edu. Is there anything after edu? Is there anything in between, like a character, an underscore, a number? Look at the whole address from the left all the way to the right, letter by letter. Do you recognize this? If you do, you can open it. If you do not, then don't. Another advice is do not click on the link. I would go and open another browser window and type in that address. And once you type in, it would tell you if that address is incorrect or something wrong with that address. Do not click on links within an email address. It's not recommended.
So if you do click on it, what happens?
So another thing that I teach in my ethical hacking course at UWM, and this course is to make students as well as professionals aware of what the hackers think. If you know how they think, then you can protect your system from being vulnerable and patch it. So when they click, they become controlled by the attacker. Your machine will be controlled by the attacker. The attacker can control everything on your machine. And they can move files, they can delete files, they can control everything on your machine.
Because they're downloading software that will allow them to get into your file?
They have not downloaded anything. By clicking on the link, what they do is they send an invitation to the attacker. Here, My machine is under your control. They have not they have not downloaded any file. They're just telling the attacker, I am ready to be controlled.
Will you know that that's happening when you do click on that link?
It's hard for the average user to tell. But one way to tell is there are symptoms that your system is attacked. Maybe you're missing files. Maybe you're missing, when you click on some programs, it's acting weird. For example, you click on File Explorer, you double click on File, or you click on Internet Explorer and it doesn't work. It doesn't open up. It used to open up. It used to do open the files. Now it's not. Something is weird. When you think that something is weird or your system is really slow, then you know that your system has been infected or is under control.
So what should you do in that case? Should you turn your machine off? Should you try to do some sort of workaround? Is there a way to do a workaround?
So there are procedures to follow. So for example, the first thing you want to do is to unplug your Ethernet cable. You know, if you have a laptop or if you have a desktop, you want to disconnect yourself from the internet. Disconnect.
At that point, you throw the door comes down and the person trying to control your machine can't connect with it, right?
Yes. Sometimes in forensics, it's not advisable to disconnect. You want to see what's going on. But let's say for this case, disconnect and try to make it local so it's not connecting to the internet, and try to scan your system using an antivirus and anti-malware to see what's going on with your system. Some anti-malware have good tools, and they will clean your system.
Okay, well, that's one good tip. Avoid phishing, avoid the spear phishers by just behaving in a way that protects your material and is frankly making you a little more skeptical, a little more suspicious of messages that are coming from people you're not familiar with.
Yeah, well, just again, we want to raise awareness. We want to make sure that we educate the user. This is what you should do. This is what you should not do. And our users are really smart. So we just want them to be vigilant. You know, look at the address of the sender, and it's easy. Do you recognize this? If you do, open it. You don't open it. Do not click on it. And I do have, you know, even on my personal email, I have two phishing emails that I got. Even one of them was yesterday. And all I had to do is look at the source address, and I said, you know, it's easy to tell.
Lately, I've been getting emails from someone claiming to be my boss saying, I need you to go ahead and check this out right away. And his signature is there. You know, the logo of the institution is there. And I'm thinking, this is really good. It's in a bad sort of way.
these are other ways of spear phishing. So another thing is, if you know that person, you can call him, talk to him before you click on that link. So pay it safe.
Okay, so that's one of the top mistakes people make, which is clicking on those links, those URLs and emails that are going to lead you down a bad path. Another big mistake, you note, is downloading content from insecure sites on the web. Let's talk about that.
Sure. So we look at programs there that are free, and we get excited. You know, these are free programs, so we go to websites that are not reliable. We click on these links, and by clicking on some of these links, we do not just download the program. We also download some malware. It could be a spyware. It could be a virus. It could be a worm. And if a worm hits a system, it can do a lot of damage. So my computer right here, I have a laptop. It's a standalone. It's not connected to any network. However, if I am part of a network and I download a worm, the worm spreads so fast from one computer to another, and the whole network will be down.
So how would I know that my website is insecure?
So the advice is go to websites that you are familiar with and that you know. There are websites that will tell you if this website is secure or not secure. For example, I teach, you know, there are many, you know, I cannot list them all of them now, but there is like website that tells you uwm.edu is secure. It's rated as one of the best. So you want to go to that website. For example, it's called mywot.com, and you click the domain name, like the address, uwm.edu, hit enter, and it will tell you if this is a reliable or non-reliable. And there are other sites that can tell you, go to that website, it's reliable, or no, don't go to that website. So you can check these websites. It will give you an idea of whether you should go to that website or you should not.
But boy, you could be on a website that you think is legitimate, or a friend gives you a tip to go ahead and check out this great video, and you could unsuspectingly walk down a bad path that is going to get you into a site that does cause problems.
Absolutely. That happens even to me. But the more I know about security, the more I get trained on security and learn about it, I try to be vigilant, you know, and use those websites, you know, before I go to any websites I have never gone to. I want to make sure whatever website I go to, it's a secure website. It takes few minutes, maybe a second, few seconds, just to check. is this a good website? Because if you are a victim of ID theft, it's a big issue. So you don't want to have a malware, a virus installed, downloaded on your machine. So a few seconds of your time, check that website before you go to that website.
You mentioned a moment ago the fact that a lot of us have anti-malware on our site. We buy the protection, or the employer that we're working for has that on their system for the computers or the phones that we might be using. How confident should we be that anti-malware is going to work?
It's good to have an anti-malware. It's better than nothing. Is it 100% foolproof? No, it's not. There is something called zero-D attack, where an attack happens, a brand new attack, that the anti-malware is not protected, is not prepared to protect against it. So it happens.
It's like a virus that mutates,
virus.
Right?
And they don't have a solution for it as of that moment that it happened. So it might take the companies minutes to solve it or days. So you want to be prepared, but at least it's good to have. It is really good to have.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. I'm Tom Lujak. Joining us in the studio today is Khalid Sabha. Khalid is a senior lecturer at UWM School of Information Studies. He is an expert in figuring out how to keep ourselves safe in the digital internet world that we're all living in, and in fact teaches students on how to be proficient at the practice of good computer online behavior. We're talking about some of the major mistakes that people make when on the web and mistakes that can open them up to great risk. We have talked about phishing scams and downloading from insecure sites. There's one other big area, Khalid, that you talk about, which is surfing on unsecure websites and networks. Let's talk about that. What should we be careful of on that front?
And again, when you surf the web, make sure that you go to websites that you are very familiar with. Some websites, they download cookies. Cookies are good in nature, but not all cookies that get downloaded on your machine are good. Some of these cookies, for example, I'm going to give you a specific example. You see a good application like a calendar or a screensaver. You click on that website to see that screensaver and download it. You download the screensaver plus something else in the background, and that something else is a spyware. That spyware, once it gets installed on your machine, it will track all information, social security numbers, any sensitive information on your machine, and will report it back to the hacker. So,
and would you know that you've done that? That you've downloaded the...
It's hard. Your intention is to download that screensaver application.
Because it's a cute cat picture or a dog picture or a skyline.
But that picture or that screensaver has something else attached to it, and that something else is the spyware. It's a program that tracks all the information on your machine.
Well, say you're at a Starbucks or one of your other favorite coffee shops, and they provide free access to the internet. You can open up your computer and select the network, and you're off and ready to roll. Are you safe?
You're not safe. My advice is, I am not trying to scare anybody, but my advice is, when you are on a public network, play it very safe. Somebody can be sitting across from your table, and that somebody could be an attacker, a hacker. They can use different techniques, and one of those techniques is called man-in-the-middle attack. They can intercept information between you and the other target. For example, if you are trying to log into Facebook, they can capture your username and password, because they can intercept all the information. That's really scary. They have tools that will allow them to do that.
So how close does that man in the middle need to be? Do they have to be within the radius of where that Starbucks or coffee shop website is operating?
All they have to be is connected to the network. They don't have to be close to you. They can be far away from you, not too far, in the parking lot maybe, in their car, in the drinking their cup of coffee, and they can see all the information. And that's something I show my students in my ethical hacking course. If you do this is what's going to happen. So I have two screens. One screen where I run this in a closed virtual environment, safe environment, to show them, to raise awareness, please do not do this. It's really a serious issue. And all your information are being captured by man in the a person in the middle between the source and the destination, between you and the other application you try to connect to, whether it's your bank, whether it's your eBay, whether it's your Facebook, whether it's whatever application you try to connect to, all your information will be intercepted. And they can use that information to access other information, your email.
Is there any way to avoid that by adding some special software to your computer so they can't tap into your signal as you're sitting at that public network?
Yes. The first and most important advice is do not do online transactions wirelessly. Do not go to your bank online using a Wi-Fi network. Do not. My advice is the least you could do is use your wired. When you are at home, connected to a computer desktop that is wired, not wirelessly, because wireless has some issues that we have to deal with. And one of them is information can be sniffed easily. Another thing, if you have to go wirelessly, something called virtual private network. Use virtual private network. That's something that makes your information encrypted. Even though HTTPS, when we go HTTPS, it's encrypted. Hackers have a tool to decrypt this.
Wow. I'm getting a little nervous here because I think I violated most of the three cardinal rules that you're not supposed to. You used a word earlier that I want to come back to because it struck me as something that I've never thought about. You said you teach a class in ethical hacking.
Yes.
Most of the time you think hacking is a bad thing because you're literally trying to get into some place that you shouldn't be. But you're saying that there is a way to do it ethically.
Right. And so what's the purpose of this ethical hacking class? And other schools teach that ethical hacking class. Ethical hacking is testing a system where you have to have a written permission from your supervisor, from the owner of the system. So companies look for pen testers. Ethical hacker is a pen tester. Does a penetration testing. We want to make sure that the system is not vulnerable to any attacks. If we find any holes, let's find that hole, let's patch that vulnerability before an attacker does. That's the purpose. So companies do this and they have a large need for penetration testers or ethical hackers. It's ethical. You have to have a written permission from your supervisor to do this. And that's why in my class, we do it within a virtual private network. So this is what they do. And companies want you to know the skills. You want to understand what hackers think. You want to be ahead, one step ahead, to protect your network, to protect your system from being attacked from other attackers. If you have a door closed, open, you want to close it before somebody gets in.
So essentially, they're hiring the good guys to do what the bad guys might otherwise be doing without you knowing it.
That's exactly true. We want to protect our system. We want to make sure that this system is sound, secure against any outside breaches.
Let's talk about passwords for a moment. You were always told that the more complicated, the more numerals, punctuation marks, lower or uppercase, the safer we are. What's the best way to get a password that is going to be foolproof and very tough for people to get into?
So there's nothing 100% foolproof, but using a password, a complex password, is better than not using one.
Why is that? Because people, do they have software that's just running millions of different combinations?
There are plenty of tools to use to crack a password. So if you have a complex password like over 8 characters long with underscores, some other symbols that you use in your password, it makes it hard for the attacker to crack the password. So the more complicated the password, the harder is it for the hacker to crack that password.
So why are we told if you have a really complicated and presumably strong password, why are we still told that you should change it regularly?
Because hackers, all they do is they spend a lot of time trying to figure out what that password is. It might take them a day, 2 days, 3 days. They will not give up. So by saying, you know, change it in case they figure out the password, it's too late. We already changed the password in the next 2 months or the next three months. It's a good idea, good habit. And another thing I would recommend is if you have different accounts like Gmail, EBA, Facebook, please do not use the same password for these accounts. Use different password for different accounts.
Okay. I can imagine our listeners right now saying, give me a break. I mean, I've got, you know, 10, 12, 15 different sites that I go to, each one requiring a password. How can I remember all the different passwords?
So some users use like a system, software that keeps track of their and store their password. Some, they rely on their memory. Some, unfortunately, they write down the passwords. And this is something that it's I do not recommend at all. Do not write your password. You know, I even see...
Wait, not write it on a computer or even on a notepad?
Or on a sticky note and, you know, they have it on their desk. Do not do that. I know it's hard, but there are software that can store your password. And so once you have those passwords stored for different accounts, save that file. It's like a file. Save it securely somewhere else so you can go back.
But wouldn't that file be subject to hacking? Couldn't somebody get in and
sure.
find my online list of all my secret keys?
Sure. So what's the good thing to do is to use encryption. Instead of having your password in plain text so they can see it, then use encryption. There are tools to encrypt the clear text, this password, so it looks like symbols, some weird characters that the hacker cannot, even if they get a hold of the password, they will not know what that password is. Encryption is another thing that users should think of, and there are plenty of free tools to use with encryption.
So your students are fortunate. They have a great, great teacher. They have you, there as the guide. For the average person who's trying to improve their online behavior, where could they go to get assistance? You know, are there classes or websites they can go to practice the best methods that you've just been describing?
So the first one, I would say, you want to go to good websites, good schools, reliable schools, and one good example is UWM. I don't want to tell you go to websites and so you go surf the web and it's a fishy website. You don't want to go to that website. My advice is go to a school, institution that is recognized by others and take classes. There are plenty of classes on security that raise awareness symbol. And I start from the ground up with my students. I want them to be aware of everything.
Well, you've given us a lot to think about. Some of us a lot to worry about. But nonetheless, wonderful, wonderful information. And thank you so much for sharing it with us today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here and share the information with all of you.
Khalid Sabah, Senior Lecturer at UWM School of Information Studies, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. That's all for this week's program. We'll see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody, and be safe online. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.